Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 35. We'll read two verses tonight and share with you what God's laid upon our heart. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." We'll stop there. Be not afraid, only believe. We know this is a very popular chapter, mainly because it's probably one of the three most popular stories in the New Testament. And you also find it in the book of Luke chapter 8. But we know that Jesus here in this chapter heals a demon-possessed man. He also touches a diseased woman. And now he has to deal with a dead child. But aren't you thankful we have a Savior that can touch all three of them? It doesn't matter what the need is, he's able to deliver and he's able to answer. I want you to notice three things tonight in our text. And we'll share with you this entire story and portions of this chapter. But three things I want you to notice. First of all, I want you to notice the dialogue between the Savior and the ruler of the synagogue. We know from the beginning of this story, which is starts in verse 21, we didn't want to read it to you for sake of time, but we know that this man that he meets, his name is Jairus. And we know that the Bible says that he was a ruler of the synagogue. Now that's very important, and it's important that Luke and Mark both mentioned his name because we know, you've heard us say it many times before, the names in the Bible are very important. They're there for a specific reason. And we know that his name means one that God has enlightened. And so we understand that from Scripture, just how enlightened that this man was because he did everything properly in order to get his miracle. But so here he is. He is a man. Let's think about this Jairus just for a second. He's a man of importance. He's a man of prominence. He's a man of power. This sermon today brought to you by the letter P. He's a man of prestige. He's a man of privilege. But just because he had all those attributes did not mean that he was exempt from life happening to him. We fall prey to certain beliefs that just because maybe we are a certain religion or a certain status in social life that we are exempt from things happening. And even just because you're a Christian doesn't make you exempt from life happening to you. We hear time and time again how things happen to good people. And we know that this man no doubt was a great man. He was of high prestige and of high honor, but still life came at him. But the thing that we see here, the problem that he faced was a problem that he could not solve himself. It didn't matter how much power he had, didn't matter how much prestige or how much money he had in his pocket, he met a problem in his life that he could not solve. And this problem that he faced, the positive thing we find is that this problem drew him to Jesus. So the problem that he faced in his life, he realized that he had a need, and so he went to Jesus to find the answer to his problem. And listen tonight, let me just bump over that speed bump one more time. It doesn't matter how much money or how position you have in society or how much religion you have, you're not exempt from life happening to you. Life will happen to all of us. The songwriter put it this way, there's some that say that in this life some rain is bound to fall. And of course, we know rain falls upon us, and we know trouble happens to every one of us. But the thing is that I want us to notice tonight that he had a problem that he could not solve, and so he knew where to go. And listen, there's nothing worse than your children being sick. There's nothing worse, especially if you have young children and they become sick. My heart's been going out to Mandy, Arthur, and Brandon this week. Their little boy Christian's been sick. In fact, the whole family's been sick. Probably stay away from that house for a while. They've all been sick, but Christians have been going back and forth to the doctor this week. My heart's been going out to them just because they can't seem to get it nailed down, and asthma and all these little pneumonia. Just it's terrible when little kids get sick, and I think little Gabby and the one we've been praying for and how she's just so sick. And when you're a parent, you have a child that is sick and you cannot do anything. It's just, you seem hopeless and you seem helpless. But the one thing about it is, this man Jairus knew that his daughter was sick. And we know that from the book of Luke, it was his only child. It was his only daughter. And he said, you know what? I know the answer to my problem and I've got to do something about it. And so he went to the one that he knew could help him. And my, that's what we need to do tonight. He went and sought Jesus to find the answer to his need. And he went believing that Christ could do something with her. And there will come a time in your life when you have a need so great that what you have physically will not help you one bit. Some of you may have already had that need. Some of you may haven't been there. But there will come a time in your life when what you physically have monetarily or physically as far as your home or your cars, it won't make a difference one bit. Listen, God doesn't care what you think you are entitled to. The only way you can get his attention is what Jairus did. He went and found him. He went and sought after him. And when he found him, and here's the key, he fell at his feet. That's the key. That was the answer to his need. And then the dialogue began and he fell at his feet. Now listen, you got to think, Jairus was a man that when he entered into a room, people stood up for him. People honored him. Well, in that day in Jewish tradition, when you walked in, you met each other with a holy kiss. But he didn't do that, did he? This wasn't time for handshaking. This wasn't time for hugging a neck. This was time to get down to business. My daughter is sick unto death. And he fell at the feet of the Savior. And by that he was saying, I got a problem that I can't solve, but I know that you can. Oh, I feel that tonight. And some of you are in that situation tonight. You have a problem that you cannot solve. And the only one that can fix it is this man called Jesus. And the only way you're going to get it fixed is to not worry about hugging his neck or giving him a kiss on the cheek. No, it's falling at his feet. It's falling at this altar and saying, Lord, I've got something that I can't handle. I've got something that I can't fix. But I'm going to fall at your feet because I know you can. Hallelujah. I love what he said. I love what he said. Let me just read to you a little bit. He said in verse 23, my daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, here's what he said, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Man, that's a pretty powerful statement when you think about it. All you got to do is come and lay hands on her and she'll live. She must have been pretty sick. He knew that she was about ready to die. But he said, Lord, if you just come, if you just come, Lord, if you come and lay hands on her, I know she'll live. Just come my way. Just come. And I love what the Bible says in verse 24. If you still have your Bibles open, that's fine. If not, but I want you to see this with me. In verse 24, he said, just come to my house, lay hands on her that she may live. And hear this, bless me all over this week. And Jesus went with him. Oh, we run over things so much and we don't even see it. But the Holy Spirit popped that out of me. And Jesus went with him. Aren't you thankful that when you call on him and when you fall at his feet, he'll go with you. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He'll go with you to the hospital. He'll go with you in the courtroom. He'll go into that broken marriage. He'll come with you when you need help. He'll go with you in surgery. Aren't you glad that he goes with us? Hallelujah. Woo. He said, I'll go with you. And listen, some of you tonight, you're at a point. Just like this man, maybe you don't have a child that's physically sick, but you've got a situation that's sick. Maybe you do have a child that needs the Lord. A wayward child. Maybe there's something in your life that you got a problem that you know you can't solve. It's time for us to lay at his feet and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. But if you just come with me, just go to where I'm going. And hallelujah, he's able. He's able. So he went with him. In the second part of the story, we see the dialogue between the two, but now notice the delay. The delay. Now we know he's already healed a demon-possessed man, and now he's getting ready to go and heal Jairus' daughter. There's no doubt he was going to do it, right? I mean, he was headed that way, right? Jairus went there. He asked Jesus first. He was in line. He was first in line. Was he not? But on the way, Jesus meets someone else. This is one of my favorite passage in the New Testament. I love preaching about this woman. He on his way to Jairus' house, he's got that on his mind, but on his way, a woman reaches out and touches his garment. He stops. But when he stops, the blood stopped. Think about that. When he stopped, the blood stopped. And he said, "Who touched me?" You'll find that in one of the passages. "Hey, who touched me?" And Peter, no doubt, said, "Oh, Lord, there's thousands, there's hundreds of people here. Surely someone's bumped into you." "Oh, no," he said, "I'm not talking about that." "Oh, yeah, people's bumped into me. But who touched me?" He said, "Well, someone went beyond my clothes. And they touched me. I've been touched by some people. I've been bumped into by some people. It don't do nothing for me but aggravate me because they're bumping into me." But there are some times when people have touched me that it does something to me on the inside. And I've definitely been in a situation where the Lord has spoken to me. Amen. And I've heard his voice and he's touched me and something came out of me. And this is what he said, "Who touched me? Because virtue has left my body." And he turned around and he saw the woman. I'm trying to get through this here, but she said, "It's me, Lord, it's me," paraphrasing. And he said, daughter, don't worry about touching me. But he said, it's not you, but it's your faith that has made you whole. It's not the touch that's made you whole, but it's your faith that has made thee whole. And the reason why he performed these miracles in Mark chapter 5 was not for us to believe in miracles, it was for us to believe in Jesus. He had hundreds of people that followed him for miracles, but then when he talked about picking up a cross and denying it and following him, they all ran away. Miracles happen for us not to believe in miracles, but for us to believe in Jesus. Because when we believe in Jesus, we know that if he does a miracle or not, we still have him. Amen? So, who touched me, right? Thy faith hath made thee whole. I thought about this too. These three stories are there for a reason, and we know that God put them in there for a specific reason. But do you realize that three times Jesus made himself unclean? These three people that he met, he became unclean. When he met the demon-possessed man and touched him, he became unclean. When he met the woman and touched the woman with the issue of blood, he became unclean. And now he's getting ready to touch a dead girl, ceremonially unclean. But don't you know Jesus don't care about being ceremonially unclean? He has compassion. I think that's our problem with our church world today. We're too ceremonial. And we're not real. We worry too much about our traditions and make sure everything's in the right order and right steps when we need to worry about having compassion upon people. And so this delay happens. He stops. But you notice it's not recorded that Jairus ever got angry. I mean, his daughter is sick. She's about ready to die. Guys, you know how much your wives get upset with you when you're on your way home and somebody stops you at Walmart and you just start talking and having yourself a good old time and your wife's going, "Let's go, let's go, let's go." They get a little righteous indignation. But Jairus is delayed. His daughter is losing her breath as they are speaking. We don't know how much time elapsed here, but it was enough time for this girl to go from sickness to death. But Jairus never got angry. You know why? Because faith never gets angry. And faith says, just because I have a delay doesn't mean that I'm denied. We have a, won't say the name just because of laws and stuff like that, but we visit people getting ready to have surgery, and there's a certain doctor that sometimes he gets delayed. And a lot of our folks will have him do surgeries. He does all kinds of things, and so it can be a little frustrating when you are in there for a certain time and you don't get in at a certain time. And me and Calray will always reassure them, well, you have to understand your doctor's probably saving somebody's life right now. And when you begin to think that maybe the delay is because someone else is getting life, then you don't worry too much about it. See, Jairus understood that faith says, just because I'm delayed, now this woman's getting help, and my daughter's going to be just fine. So, this delay happens. Now, she went from sick to dead. Jesus delayed. He could have went right on. He could have said, disciples, take care of this woman. I don't have time for her. I got to go to this ruler's house. But he didn't. He took time for this woman. So that means he delayed on purpose. And any time Christ delays on purpose, it's to increase our faith and to do something more miraculous. And so he delays on purpose. Now they come to him, they come to the master, they come to Jairus and say, don't trouble Jesus anymore because now she's dead. And Jesus says in the verse that I read to you, he turns to Jairus and says, don't be afraid. What's he say? Only believe. Don't be afraid, Jairus. She's not dead. Only believe. What he was saying, just ignore what they're saying. Because yes, it looks hopeless right now. It may look hopeless right here, but I haven't got to your house yet. You just wait till I get to your house. We've got a little delay. This woman's got a miracle. Now you just wait and see what I'm about ready to do. Hey, listen, just because your answer hasn't come yet, maybe Jesus hadn't gotten there yet, but when he does, he'll do something exceeding abundantly above what you can ask or think. Hey, he's able. Just because he may be delayed doesn't mean that he's denied your miracle. He's increasing our faith. So we had this dialogue, and then we have this delay, but notice the deliverance. So he comes into the house, and we understand they had professional mourners in there. We got those in the church today, don't we? Whine, cry, complain, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Oh. Young people don't know where that came from, but go YouTube, but it's on Hee Haw. There you go. If it wasn't for bad luck, I have no luck at all, right? Professional mourners, people you just love to hang out with, right? So Jesus scolds them. Why are you crying? She's not dead. She's sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. Do you know that unbelief restrains Jesus? You remember when he wanted to do miracles? And he could not do it because of their unbelief. Jesus has the power. Do you believe he has the power to do anything? But our unbelief keeps him away from the problem so we can answer it. We literally can put handcuffs on God by not believing that he can do it. And so Jesus does something, I just find it amazing. He says, all of you that are mourning and crying and are laughing at me, get out of here. Get out the door. And I wonder what would happen if those who no longer took God seriously were put out of the church. I wonder what kind of service we would have at Rubyville if those of you that didn't believe that God could do something would just go home. See, but you don't have to go home. You surely know by now that having all these testimonies that we've seen time after time and again, that God can do anything. God has the power. If you don't believe it, just look at your own life at what he's done for you. And look at what he's done for others. And thank God he can do it. And so but he puts them out. He says, those of you that don't believe, get out of here, because I can't do anything with unbelievers. I can't do anything with people that aren't believing. So he put out all those. And the only ones that were left, we find from Mark and Luke, were mom and dad and Peter, James, and John. Because you understand you don't have to have a lot of people to get a miracle. You just got to get two or three that believe. That's all you got to have. Just two or three people that believe and God can do the miraculous. And so he says, now listen to this closely. He says, Talitha kumai. We know that means damsel arise. In Luke it says maid arise. But if you look that up and study it out just a little further, my research led me years back to this passage of scripture, and this word Talitha kumai, the root word in Talitha kumai is talit, T-A-L-I-T. And if you've ever done any research on the prayer shawl, you'll know that that's the prayer shawl that the Jews wore around their neck, and then they would put it over their head when they would pray. It had the commandment of God as they would read and they would pray that prayer. And don't have time to go into it. Maybe one of these days down the road, I'll preach that sermon again and maybe get into that prayer shawl a little further. But it had a ribbon to blue that anytime they look at the blue, it would remind them of heaven and all the knots and everything. And then there was for a specific reason. But that was called a talit. A talit. The root word of Talitha kumai. So what that literally means, if we could just paint a picture. Jesus took off his prayer shawl and laid it over the young girl and said, damsel, arise. She was wrapped up in his presence and wrapped up in his power and said, Talitha kumai. Why? Because she was in death's hands. She was in a cold, dark place. So he wrapped her up with his spirit and went down to death's door and said, I want this one back. And he took back what death had stolen. And listen tonight, if you only believe in what Christ can do for you, if you have a problem that you can't solve, God can raise a dead situation. He can wrap you in his presence. He can wrap you in his power. And he can say, arise from the ashes. Arise from the dead cold prison. And hey, it's too late to tell me that he can't perform a miracle. I've been wrapped in his presence. I've been wrapped in his anointing. I've been wrapped in his power. I've been brought from death to life. I've been delivered from death's dark prison. And now I've got a home in heaven. Why? Because I only believed. That's all it takes, is believing that he can. He said, don't be afraid. Only believe. Do you need delivered? You have a problem that you can't solve? Just do what Jairus did. Fall at his feet. And say, Lord, I surrender to you.